Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Ruth, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Is not the culprit in the scandal. And she's one of the casualties, if you will. And so when we see her getting ready to go back, it says, for the Lord, and you might underline the word Lord because it's capital all the way across, meaning it's Jehovah. She knew the Lord. This woman knew the Lord. She knew the scriptures and she knew how things worked. When she gets back into her home city, we're going to find that again. But right now, she can't see straight. You ever feel like you can't see straight? I know we all get there at one point or another, and some worse than others. But I want you to know that the DNA of this woman was her anchor. And she takes her two daughters in-law, and she begins to head home. But again, being a woman with a keen sense of discernment about what was going on around her, it seems that they went forth, in verse 7, out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But as they're going along, I'm sensing that Naomi senses this is not right. You girls, I can't give you anything. I'm the elder female here, and I just want you to know I can't help you, and I can't give you sons, and I can't give you other husbands. And why don't you just go back? And she's probably feeling that that's what those girls are thinking too. If you've got Orpah, for instance, who's maybe just going because it seems like all she's got or what she has to do, maybe Naomi is picking up on that. But nevertheless, they're on their way. And the Bible says in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Now, I want you to circle the word kindly. It's a good biblical word. It's a word that is often translated gracious or loving kindness. It's a very powerful word that God sort of commandeers in the book of Genesis when he passes through the parted animals to make a covenant with Abraham. Usually men would cut a covenant, and they call it cutting a covenant because they would take the animals and they would cut them into pieces, set them over against each other. The men would join hands cutting a covenant, and they would walk in between this piece as if to say, the Lord do to us what has been done to these animals if we break this covenant. So it was called cutting a covenant. And the word hesed applied to what happened with that situation with Abraham, because Abraham was left in a deep sleep and God went through alone. He says, I'm not depending on you for any of this. You've heard it, right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. That's true. Okay. And there is the word hesed. God is kind. God has loving kindness. God is gracious. The word hesed is here. So I even see it peppering her speech. You know, you've been more than gracious to me. Isn't that how you feel about God? Hasn't he been more than gracious to us? I'll tell you, that is, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, life is long. And there's every day you've got another opportunity to blow it. And many days, how many out of a week, you know, you blow it. I mean, I bit somebody. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. You know what? God gives us way beyond what we deserve when he calls us his children. Isn't that true? He loves me. And I'm so glad, because his love is what tethers him to me, because God is love. And he ain't changing. And that's good to know, too. So the Bible tells us that she uses that word in relation to these women. They've been good to her husbands, perhaps nursed them to the door of eternity. And now here they are going with her. And she's like, I can't ask that of you. I can't ask that of you. From a gospel perspective, isn't that how you feel like maybe coming to the Lord when you get a little older and you think, man, I've blown it so many times. I have no idea. And I've made a mess and all this. And you feel like, I can't ask you, Lord. And some people's pride gets the better of them and they never do ask. May I just say to you, no matter how long you've been walking on this ball of dirt, God loves you. He really does. He wants to save you if you'll just come. He can cleanse every stain. He can take everything you've ever done, and he can separate it from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, I'm happy to tell you that today, because I've got some good news. He can bury it in the deepest sea, and he'll never remember it against you again. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You can have your sins forgiven. And what I want you to realize is that this woman has that in her DNA. And we're going to see how that really does live its way out. She commends them to go back. She says, listen, go back. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have done with the dead and with me. Verse 9 says, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, when I said it starts with scandal, it then goes to struggle. You can see struggle here. When you say goodbye to people, when you say goodbye at the gravesite, when you say goodbye to people when you move from one state to another, when you say goodbye to people, that's a struggle. Life involves struggle. There is going to be struggle that is going to come. And that struggle is not meant to break us. It's meant to build us. God is building a house for Himself. You know, it's not a weak-kneed thing that it takes to be a Christian. It is blue steel backbone kind of stuff. You must be strong. You must be valiant. You must be wise. You must do right even when nobody else is. And that is not easy. You guys remember the old candid camera thing? One time they put these guys in an elevator and everybody stood with their back to the door. And this one poor guy gets on there and everybody's standing the wrong way. And he just turns around and starts facing the wall again with everybody else. And, you know, that's the way it is in our world. It's so easy to go along. It's so easy to change and adjust to fit in. But if you stand your ground, sometimes you are looked down upon and eventually vilified. You know, you become the one who's not keeping step. And so these people before us are struggling. And they're struggling because they're trying to work through all of their loss, but then their separation from each other because of it. And the Bible says they've lifted up their voice and wept in their struggle. And they said, surely we will return, verse 10, with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said again, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go up with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? And right away we're thinking, what? What is that even an issue? Well, for the Moabites it wasn't, but for the Israelites it was. Because they were people of inheritance. There was a thing called levirate marriage, which if a man dies, his brother is supposed to take the wife and raise up a son so that he can take the inheritance. And Israel was preserved by this. And so Naomi knew that that was what she was thinking. But these women, they didn't know what they were thinking. They're still probably devastated by the loss of their husbands. And they're just going. But the more that Orpah thought about it, the more that it kind of made sense. But even still, what we see in verse 11 is that Naomi does have that scriptural foundation in her DNA. She says, I can't raise children. And she says in verse 12, if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and he bear sons, would you tarry in verse 13? Would you stay from other men in verse 13 until they were old enough to become your husbands? Now, an interesting word here in the Hebrew for us is the word hope in verse 12. If I should say I have hope. The word hope comes from the word cord. Think about that. It's a cord that we're referred to in the book of Hebrews where the Bible says that he's our forerunner. He's our forerunner. Now, what a forerunner was that little boat that attached itself to the large ships to bring them into some kind of a harbor gently. Jesus is tethered to us. He's our hope. Isn't it good to know? So he's already home, and he's got us, and he's pulling us in. So our hope really does have what we might call a little meat on it that makes sense, that's just powerful. She said, if I should have hope. Hope is the cord that pulls us into the future. It's the thing that gets us past the hurts and the aches and the pains. So the Bible says, if I should say I have hope and have these men in the end, would you wait? The Bible says in verse 13, nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, when you see that, understand this. She's personalizing it. Now, I just want to say this to men. You know, guys, we tend to be able to put things in a box. And we're able to say, man, I made a mistake. It's terrible. And it was dreadful. It was tragic even. But we will get up a couple of days later and we will have it in a box, battened down, and we'll move on. We may walk with a little hitch in our step, but we will move on. Women aren't like that. When we personalize something and we know we can't fix it, we pretty much can put it into the box. Women, it'll mess them up. And we need to be mindful of that. As we oversee our homes, we need to recognize that there is a vulnerability. Like I said a moment ago, Naomi did nothing wrong, but she's personalizing and saying, it grieveth me much, in verse 13, for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, if you've read the book of Ruth, you know that's not true. She's going to not only be succored, which means to be helped, she's going to suckle a baby eventually in her old age. Now, I just want you to know that was the big deal. That was the big deal for women. She felt like she would never have joy again, but she doesn't have a baby. Ruth has the baby, and she herself becomes nurse to that child. Guys, listen. God knows the deepest desires of your heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There are things that can be done that only God can do. And He knows where we are and what we want, what we need, and how to provide for those wounds that maybe nobody else can touch. God understands. And the Bible says, it grieveth me for your sakes that the hand of the Lord's gone out against me. Wow. Just realize this, folks. The struggle is part of it. The scandal is part of it. And God just makes us strong. Somebody has pointed out very well, and most of you have heard the idea, that the winds hitting the tree makes the roots go deeper so it can stand. When you're going through the hard times, your roots need to go deeper. You've got two choices. The Greek word for judgment in the Bible is the Greek word krino. We get the word crisis from it. It means to choose two ways. You see, when you choose, you have to choose two ways. You have to make a judgment. You can't go both ways. You have to go one or the other. And I want you to know that when crisis comes, you can go the wrong way. The old song in the 80s, you can go your own way. You can. And God will let you, just like the prodigal went his own way. When he came to himself in his leanness, he had no money left, all his friends had left, he's feeding pigs, he's ready to eat the slop. He came to himself because he realized something from the struggle. That there is an insanity about going your own way. That you can become like a moth to a flame in going your own way. You can become addicted to going your own way. And then it becomes painful beyond imagining to get yourself freed up. But the answer the prodigal came to was, why do I sit here coveting the slop? I could go to my father. He's got plenty. And he says, I'll tell him this. Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Take me as your servant. Because his mind was so clouded, but he knew his father still loved him. But he thought, no, I couldn't even ask him. I said that a minute ago. Can't even ask him. Can't ask you to do this. And when he got home, the Bible tells us that the father ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe around him, killed the fattened calf and had a celebration. And there was never even an opportunity for him to get out of his mouth the words, make me your servant. Listen, God is love. No matter what we go through, no matter how hard it may seem, we need to not make bad choices when the crises come. We need to choose wisely. And I would say to you, as always, choose Jesus.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.